I know that test pyramid is always somewhere. I'm not sure whether the amount of the test should be exactly like pyramid. Mm. I have a young lady who is very eager to doing, you know, playwright testing. Mm. And her, you know, love is that let's do full end-to-end automation, because end-to-end automation is a king. Improving our performance is not like giving, you know, golden card to AWS, give me more resources, but this is the hard way, this is engineering way. My vision of being testers, tester, is first of all to being engineer.
Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed. My name is Richie, and I'm happy to share another episode from the TestCon 5 conference from Mauritius. My guest today was Sebastian Maliska, short Seba. We talked about APIs and why testers should look behind the front end, what the top 5 API protocols are and how they differ, how MCP connects AI agents with real systems, and why good API design saves you tokens and money. Enjoy the episode. And one more thing before we go on. Over the last 25 years, I've seen a lot of testing projects. Some went great, some went sideways. And the difference was rarely the tooling. It usually came down to a handful of things teams got right or didn't. So I sat down and wrote them up. 7 success factors for software testing. It's a free ebook and it's now available in English too. And it's not just something to read on the couch. It's a workbook with exercises so you can check where your own project stands on each factor. If you want to have a look, you'll find it on tul.fm/ebook. The link is also in the show notes. And now, have a good one and enjoy the episode. Hi, Seba. Great to have you on the show here.
Thank you, Charles. Great to having me.
Yeah.
Should I look on camera or look on you?
No, you can look to me. We ignore the camera.
There's nobody here,
so we can just talk relaxed. Okay. Yeah, we are here in Mauritius, the TestCon conference. Mm-hmm. A very active community here for software quality and testing. Yeah.
It's my third time here. I remember first time. Yeah. How much time you have? Yeah, honestly, because this is really nice story. Like when I met Lovelace, then he mentioned there is some kind of that kind of place that there is an interesting community, and he would like to you know give some knowledge, share with this community, you know, show them, you know, people outside of the, you know, island, and in that moment we was freshly elected exec, and we're looking some kind of ideas how we can, you know, give something to the community. Mm-hmm. And there was idea like there are some places where, you know, there are people willing to, you know, learn something, mm-hmm. or meet somebody, but the traveling there, it's mm-hmm. cost so much that the local community never will be afford to invite anybody. Well, if we're talking about really big stars, then, for example, maybe one, if they're dedicated, you know, sponsor about that. But definitely forget about, you know, 2, 3, 5 people. And still, this is, you know, big challenge.
Yeah. Mm,
so we start thinking on the exec how we can solve that kind of situation. And there is a pop-up idea like ISTQB conference. Mm-hmm. And those ISTQB conference, it was exactly like we figured out, okay, we still have some money, and we definitely feel ourselves like we should give back, you know, something to different communities. Definitely there will be, there we already know, not on, because this is not only Lovish case, we already know there are community that are willing to, you know, to have that kind of speakers, but they never will be affordable.
Yeah.
So figure out, okay, we know how to organize events because usually each of us in ISTQB is active outside of the, you know, being ISTQB and organizing or used to organizing or about to organizing some kind of events. So we have knowledge, know-how. We have, you know, some money. We can also travel there and try to organize some kind of dedicated meetings, some other activities that will be, you know, win-win solution. That's why the idea of the ISTQB pop up, and we said, okay, let's try. And the Mauritius was the first pickup country, like evaluation. And I remember still, like, we came here, and the first event was in the Cyber City. Then I learned that there's something like Cyber City. And let's imagine, you know, European that never was in the Mauritius, traveling here, and take me to the Cyber City. And, you know, the first ideas, how it might look like. It's, you know, when you heard about Dubai, you can expect anything. and indeed, the this is the region, I don't know, city or the region. It looks like, you know, a very high building, you know, a lot of people, you know, just walking there. This is not living area, this is rather walking area. And there was the conference. I guess, also, if I remember, two tracks. Parallel with the conference, we organize some kind of meetings, different working groups. So they have not only, you know, money, but also have speakers. Of course, they willing to pick up who would like to speak. And it was a huge success. But what struck me, this is not immediate success. So, okay, being there and talking with people, it was one aspect, and it was a really great aspect. Also, there was cases like, for example, when we had there, Olivier was invited some kind of interview in the national television. So then for example, they learn about that there's that kind of event is happening. Unfortunately, Olivier can't speak French. Here, it's important. So he could go to mass media and talk a little bit about a profession, about ISTQB. And again, it sounds like, you know, really good event, you know, a lot of people, you know, PR for, you know, and branding, everything built. And we still feel that, okay, this is good idea, good project, we should continue. And after that, you know, a year or 2 years later, we start seeing the benefit from that kind of event. Because as Lovler said, in the local community, like some doors was already closed to them. Even that they was in the time to organize that kind of event, this the doors was closed. After this event, after this interview, after that we have, you know, a few meetings with different companies. Well, by the way, I find the company which is located either here and either in Poland, which is also was a surprise to me. So after that, he come back to us and say, okay, now those doors are open, and even inviting them and calling them, let's, you know, have a meeting. So that I call it always, you know, butterfly effect. Like this is really small thing, and we can organize, and nobody could know except, of course, ISTQB, but it did the job.
And I think it's often overseen that ISTQB is not just a bunch of people who are doing their syllabus, but also trying to give something back to the community, especially to, as you said, communities who are not able to travel everywhere and doing conference attendees and all over the world. So bring the knowledge here to the local communities.
In Africa region, and we how long we are? 9 hour in flight from Europe. This is very far, you know, travel. So this community, the same Indonesia community. I still remember going to Bali. I know that they struggling to organize something. In this year, for example, they organized something online. I'm in contact with Caribbean board. They also thinking by many years. They thinking about organizing by. But logistically for them is big challenge. You know, there's few, you know, Iceland located and they need to learn travel, which is traveling between them is challenge. And now inviting also speakers, you know. For us, it's you know, for us, this is like heaven. Like, you know, this is the location that we traveling to, you know, to for vacation. But for them, this is totally different perspective.
That's true. Thank you for this side view on the ISTQB community work. I think it's very interesting. But, you especially have today a talk about API testing. And I read your abstract, and when I think often when Tesla say, oh, we have to test the API, API is such a general word, not mm-hmm. knowing what is behind that. Mm-hmm. And in your abstract, I read from the big five mm-hmm. types of APIs, and so, and there I want to take a look into it. What's the difference, and why do we have to know that mm-hmm. there is a difference in the architecture and the technology behind that?
Yeah, so at first I was looking idea for, you know, talk. I used to talking about very abstractive things, and now I have, you know, ambition to talk about very technical stuff. Mm. So my friend David, you know, say hello, David, inspired me to by his talk, because he used to have a talk that he going from protocol to protocol and discussing about his personal experience mm. about testing this. So I inspired from this and start look at his, check his resources, updated, and start talking about also protocols. Then AI was introduced to my big picture. So we are much far from the perspective like we still have. But yeah, but coming back to your question, so my talk starting with the analyzing of a report. This is report done by the Postman, so we all know the tool and those company, and they definitely doing a lot of analysis, how much is being API interface used, you know, how many, you know, teams investing, whether this is the interface that can be used to, you know, to monetize the product mm. or whether this is simple, you know, backend for some kind of front-end application. So they doing deeply knowledge, and what I like a lot in this report, a lot of companies, as far as I remember, it was 30,000 companies, something like this. Mm. So huge number. So I still think this is kind of representative.
Yeah.
And if you compare year to year, the REST protocol, it's still in the king. Mm. It's on the top. And the second is, I guess, webhooks. Maybe I start, you know, thinking what was changed. So we changed. 2024, there was GraphQL as in the second position. Mm-hmm. Now it's going down. Mm-hmm. We don't have still a report for 2026. So you're talking about the data from report 2025. So this is going down, and I guess webhooks going up. But we can say that more or less we have, you know, the same, you know, top, you know, five or protocols mm-hmm. like REST, like SOAP, like GraphQL, mm-hmm. Webhooks, and that's that kind of, you know, stuff. And JSON RPC, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff. So my intention at very beginning was just to remind testers, like because we all love, you know, clicking. Mm-hmm. We all love front end. We have huge hype about, you know, whether Cypress or Playwright is better, or maybe Selenium, there will be next version, next generation, you know, all that fight. Even on a yesterday conference, there was talk, Lilia mm-hmm. talk about that, the she has thousands, you know, front end tests. Mm-hmm. By my heart, I'm backenders, mm. and if I need to, you know, yeah. do any front-end test, I always going to down. This comes from the experience in my life. Like usually the front-end, we used to have leaky, mm. and, you know, backenders was the real you can run, and this was giving, you know, more predictive, you know, output. Not always ideal, but more predictive and definitely quicker one.
Yeah.
So I always was the beginners, and the concept was that I would like to just remind the testers, like, don't do on the, you know, hype, but try to understand what is happening, you know, behind the scene, what kind of protocols, how they even talk to each other. Also try to explain and show the difference, like REST, it's not the, you know, protocol itself, it's kind of, you know, recommendation. So if somebody figure out, like, let's use GET to remove some object, don't kill this person.
Yeah.
probably this there was reason and this is allowed. Because, again, this is not, you know, not protocol. Versus, you know, SOAP, which is, you know, very standardized protocol where we have something which is related with the, you know, usually money, third party, you know, integration, where you need to be exact about the about the amount, about the time, all those stuff is, you know, pre-validated. And so on, so on. So this idea was just to show people, like who probably never have opportunity to see how looks the very simple flow, like, like for example, for us, you get and the response, for you know, so letters is sending, you know, post and there's 200, and some magic is happening. Yeah. Explain why GraphQL is so important. Like, so for example, you can send a request about certain, you know, data, and you can in the request define what exactly data you are looking for.
Yeah.
Or for example, you don't need to fetch everything. This was the main reason why GraphQL was introduced. Like, we don't want to, you know, client just collecting all object A, all object B, and all object C, and doing some kind of, you know, matching on the client side, but just send one request and say that from this and this, this, I would like to this particular information, and just give me the report. And this was, you know, the idea of GraphQL. So, and so, so on. So I want to very quickly, one slide, I will be showing, you know, exact flow, how it looks like and explaining. But then again, agentic AI started. We already heard many talks here about AI, about AI itself, about agentic solution. So again, my vision of being testers, tester is, first of all, to being engineer. So I cannot imagine to test something without understanding how it's working. And even that we might, you know, love that we have, you know, chat window, we can chat with something, some thing which is responding to us. And for example, ask those identity to, you know, create Jira, you know, move Jira, you know, analyze me these requirements, prepare me automated, you know, scenario for that. It's everything fine, but I was wondering how it's happening and where's the limitation. And I always, when I'm playing with ChatGPT, I saw that, you know, if you're asking about some kind of action, that he's not giving you the answer, but you see that he generates Python script, doing some kind of analysis and giving you back. Now we have MCP, so it's changed a lot and it is game changer. So this is yet another thing that I would like to explain, that MCP give the real data, which those AI needed to stop hallucinating and the real work on something which is valid. And then also I realized that there are new protocols and they communicate in a slightly different way, but still they built on the top of the, you know, the protocols that we already know. So JRPC is used, you know, by default, and then can be used by the different level of transportation. And we, if we're looking, you know, from high level perspective, when you Google MCP, you immediately you get information like MCP server is like USB for computer. I hate those analogy because when I look at this and it was, didn't catch at all. What do you mean? USB-C port to computer, what do you mean? For me, this is, I would like rather say that MCP is like any external devices, because the even that we have very clever box, those clever box still will be closed inside of the box. And if we would like to do something, we need some kind of, you know, interaction with the real systems. And funny is that if we have those interactions still will be made on the old protocols. So we need to, you know, build something in the middle, kind of proxy, which will be, you know, understand, you know, communication on the one side with LLM, and the other will be talking with, you know, with the classic protocols. So I will start doing, you know, research, how it's happening, you know, how AI knows, like, what to call it, you know, there must be something, you know, some exchange, because in the, you know, in the media you see, ah, they automatically detected agent, and, you know, then automatically LLM know that this agent is called, I don't know, you know, Richard two, and he can do, you know, generate, I don't know, ticket or send you for vacation or one.
Yeah.
That's, you know, on abstract level. And for engineers,
yeah,
we know that, we both know there is no magic. There needs to be something which is happening. And this is, I would like to explain in my talk, like this dedicated protocol, which has dedicated, you know, requests. And one of the requests is, for example, you know, tell me what kind of, you know, resources you have. Mm-hmm. Tell me what kind of tools you have.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, when LLM start talking with MCP, the MCP sent all the information about himself to LLM. And LLM just need to remember about this.
Yeah.
And don't need to remember everything, because they can send only, you know, let's say some, let's say abstract of information.
Mm-hmm.
And then still LLM has the typical request like, okay, tell me more about this. Tell me, for example, what kind of data, what kind of type of data you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, okay, now I understand how it's working.
Yeah.
And so on. So again, topic is very huge.
And what do you think is, what is, in your opinion, as a tester, why should I really take care of it? Which interfaces and APIs are used there? Why is that so important for me?
Well, again, I started because I have mindset, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not
a normal
person.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to understand. I need to break it,
yeah,
see how it's working, and then, you know.
Yeah.
But in fact, the report that I will be talking about give me the answer for that. Mm. And this report showing, like, first of all, it's showing, like, in order to build product which can be, you know, successfully shipped and start, you know, bringing revenue, you don't need to have, for example, front-end.
Mm.
For me, it was something new that I didn't expect. I was rather, you know, narrow-minded, like, okay, back-end, front-end, there needs to be some kind of application, there might be, you know, microservices behind, but still needs to be some kind of, you know, website where that you start dealing with. Mm. Of course, you need to log in and do some actions. And this report showed that this is not true, that more and more companies just delivering, you know, backend, paid API, and you're buying subscription for API, and can you, you know, do whatever they deliver.
Yeah.
And having few of that, you can build some kind of, you know, network. And then, for example, you can deliver, you know, serverless solution, which is using, you know, three different paid API and giving some other different value because they already collected or pre-processed something and deliver it.
Mm.
This was one thing. And the other thing, when we start talking about the MCP, also this report showed that even the developers know what is MCP, even they using this, and we know that testers also using the agentic systems and, you know, believe that. Fun fact is that very few organizations designing API in terms of the, you know, optimization of, you know, for used by agents or used by, you know, API only. This is still kind of mindset, like we have some kind of, you know, business idea.
Mm.
We cut those business ideas, some kind of domain, subdomain, or stuff like this. And this will be implemented in the code. Effect is that maybe this is logically for a human. It's fine because there's, you know, I don't know, order, under order you have, you know, I don't know, some kind of invoice, blah, blah, blah. There's some kind of, you know, logical path like you're building in the URI. But for agent, it hasn't been like that.
Mm.
And this was, you know, kind of big surprise, like, oh, so we can do, you know, optimization even on architectural level if we understood what kind of, you know, clients we have.
Mm.
And this is not new knowledge for testers.
Mm.
We always knew that, first of all, we need to identify our stakeholders.
Yeah.
We need to talk with them. We need to understand what means good quality for them.
Mm.
But if we're looking on that, again, from engineering perspective, nobody is, you know, asking AI whether they, you know, would like to have five requests to get some or one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm simplifying, but on the end of the day, in the, you know, budget, you will see how many tokens has been used.
Mm.
And if you have API, you know, optimized for, you know, cooperation with agent, probably there will be less.
Yeah.
And we all dealing, not only IT, with the problem, like not enough, you know, power, not enough, you know, tokens, you know, the subscriptions going up and probably will be going up.
Yeah.
The models are bigger, so the context is bigger, so we can, you know, put more data in the context. And this is not like we would like to have, you know, give me this, and then generate, but well-designed API, it should help. So this is yet another the goal, like if someone after my talk will come back and I don't know, ask about in the organization, the architect, whether do we have policy, like whether we have overview, architecture overview, how we supposed to, you know, deliver some kind of, you know, APIs, how it's supposed to look like, you know, under the hood, then I will think that it will be successful.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea to think about the quality of an API, not just if it works, but is it also in a, I think, well-formed architecture to save tokens, to save resources and calls behind that, and to look at the tester also at this quality characteristic of an API.
Yeah. Well, last year, I guess, we have big trend about the, you know, sustainability, being green and save the resources.
Yeah.
Now we are AI age, so forget about green. give me more power. But again, I think that we'll come back, especially in European Union, we'll very quickly come back, like, okay, efficiency, first of all, you know. The performance, we can say that all performance testing is old stuff. But if it's right performance, you know, implemented and the right test being done, then those kind of questions should pop up. You know, how we can do better, how we can spend less resources. You know, improving our performance is not like giving, you know, golden card to AWS, give me more resources.
Yeah.
But this is the hard way, this is engineering way. And we know that again, because of expertise, because of level of difficulties, again, because I guess lack of people and AI is still not allowed, not skilled enough to, you know, give that kind of stuff. So this is the real, you know, defect with the big value, with the big, you know, severity and, you know, big influence of the system. So it is.
What do you think a tester who now hears this episode and says, okay, I'm just a normal front-end guy and now I hear all the API stuff, what would you give him for a tip to start dealing with APIs? Which architecture is maybe the easiest one to learn, and how to learn it, how to start to get in contact with this deep back-end stuff, this engineering stuff, when I have so not really a plan?
First of all, don't worry. It's not going to kick you, not going to bite you. Well, honestly, and observing the community from Poland, I think that our front-end engineers already are much aware about that. I think that every day they already deal with the situation, like they front-end tests are too slow. So how is the best way to speed up? Let's eliminate pre-hooks or, you know, pre-action, post-action, and move them slower, for example, to API. So I expect that probably everyone already have today test scenario, like pre-test action is being done via the API. Then you have, you know, then you pop up some kind of browser, click, closing the browser and clean up doing via API. I don't believe that, you know, advanced engineer, you know, still playing with all preparation. So I think they already know. If don't know, probably they supposed to go in that way. Yet another proof that this is not only Polish case. Playwright. Playwright also very quickly has the client for API. So when you know, going dive into Playwright, which is typical front-end, you know, tool, you already have the client. And I remember by the old time that you have to, you know, install additional client, you know, do some hacking. Now the authors of this framework already know that this is, you know, basic stuff. So they supposed to know. So I think that definitely this is, if you're not doing yet that kind of stuff, this is your next step in the career to start going into. Or if you're already doing, then REST is not the only protocol on the world. There are other protocols, and it's easy and nice to know about that. Mocking also is very easy, because then you can test, you know, edge cases on the front end. Okay. So you can, you know, prepare that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think this is, you know, a lot of fun. And again, for me, this is much more stable interface.
Yeah.
Even in my, you know, daily job, when I working, is that I have, I'm leader of, you know, a few people. And I have a young lady who is very eager to doing, you know, playwright testing. Mm. And her, you know, love is that let's do full end-to-end automation, because end-to-end automation is a king.
Mm.
We're supposed to have always end-to-end. And we always have struggle, like, you know, okay, be careful, do analysis, pick up only scenarios that you have to do it.
Mm.
Rest, let's go down. And I always showing, you see, I have, you know, 2,000 of, you know, API tests, which doing, they work in the same time like you, 300 playwright scenarios. So, of course, this is not the, you know, that tournament who is doing, because some of need to be covered here and there. But still, this is, for me, kind of proof, like... better stability and even, well, now we have self-healing front-end scenarios, so maybe soon we'll be also stable, and, you know, with the changing, you know, website, it will be again stable, and the self-heal correct, and they will keep working. But still, this is requires some additional, you know, work, you know, processing, time stuff. So I think the good testing strategy is supposed to have definitely both.
Yeah.
I know that test pyramid is always somewhere. I'm not sure whether the amount of the tests should be exactly like pyramid.
Mm.
I think that testers on the end of the day should sit down, analyze the feature, and really, you know, honestly tell to themselves, like, on which level will be the best. And definitely fight with the developers to do unit testing.
As you said, I think that's the closing loop, to decide if a test is good at API level or at end-to-end level. You have to understand a little bit of API and not just knowing the end-to-end stuff. So to make a good mix, it's good to know both levels, and then to decide together where do we what on which level.
Exactly. Yeah. Understand which layer gives you what kind of, you know, features.
Yeah.
Because definitely there will be some features front end wise only, and definitely they need to be tested in that way, and back end wise only like this. And one more thing, for example, I'm also here conducted a workshop, and the input to the workshop is just, you know, Swagger documentation. Mm-hmm. Like, at the very beginning, I just, you know, showing people, you know, this is your server. You have only this documentation. Mm-hmm. Guess.
Mm-hmm.
What is the, you know, logical happy flow of this application? Mm-hmm. And I think that at the very beginning, when we are in the cycle of the, you know, process development, we don't have, as a tester, you know, privilege to wait till very end as we go full flow with a nicely looking front and stuff like this. We need to understand what is happening, you know, in the back end. We need to understand how to read this documentation, understand, start already doing our test, and whenever front end is ready, then just run it.
Yeah.
You know, waiting is a waste, and we know that waste is not good.
Seba, thank you very much for these insights. I think it makes a good perspective on the different API stuff and how to deal with it, and why to deal with APIs and MCP nowadays in the AI world. Thank you so much that you were here.
Thank you for having me.
Hope you have a good talk afterwards. And
I already stressed.
Now you had the rehearsal here, so it's everything fine. And enjoy the rest of the conference, and also Mauritius, and also next week the ISTQB workshops and working groups. And
yeah,
all this stuff. Sitting in air-conditioned, old, cold working group rooms, dealing with testing stuff.
Well, this is part of the experience, like... first of all, you're not sitting there alone. This is the unique opportunity that all those other crazy people like you, that you're just taking vacation from paid job, then doing voluntary work somewhere, not always with the, you know, that nice place like Mauritius, but somewhere. It's not a normal behavior. So you are sitting with group of that crazy people and you have enjoying to, you know, each other.
That's true. We are all a little bit crazy. Thank you, Seba.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.